Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the weekend show. Also, your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Cortland Economics Report. I want to first and foremost thank everybody for tuning in throughout the week and sharing all your thoughts and keeping in touch with me, especially over email, fleck@kereport.com. Please keep all those emails coming. Please let me know what guests you like, which ones you want to hear more of, and any of the companies that I've brought on, because I've really been focused on introducing and keeping all of you up to date on a lot of resource companies and even some companies outside of the resource sector. That being said, let's get into this first hour of the weekend show as I am chatting with Jesse Felder. Now, Jesse, big picture here for these markets. We have seen a pretty significant shift in the risk appetite of investors. And this week, as we're recording this late in the day on Wednesday, the cryptocurrencies are driving home this shift of risk appetite, as Bitcoin is approximately 50%. That's 50% off of its highs from just a couple months ago. Really, maybe even 1 month ago. Jesse, take us through this broad shift in risk appetite on the back of this cryptocurrency market, in a way, crashing.
Yeah, well, it's something that, you know, I think these things that are the highest beta, most volatile securities in the markets are really good sentiment indicators. And crypto is really just the latest. We saw, you know, in January, right, we had the GameStop, episode where a lot of these speculative names were just screaming higher. And then in February, we saw a lot of those things peak and roll over. The ARK Innovation Fund is one, you know, I pay attention to, and I've been, you know, short on and off for the past few months. And, you know, it peaked back in February and has rolled over, you know, pretty dang hard over the last few months. We've seen a lot of SPACs, you know, that have actually just gotten crushed, you know, focused on these space companies and electric vehicles. And like I said, a lot of the highest beta names in the market have peaked and rolled over really hard, which is, to me, just a sign that risk appetite broadly has been shifting. And, you know, I think cryptocurrencies are just the latest in that trend, where we saw the shift out of a lot of these meme stocks and into meme coins over the last month or two. You know, people selling off their GameStop or their AMC, you know, stock or any of these other, you know, speculative names in the stock market and putting it into Dogecoin and all the different, you know, SafeMoon and all the, you know, the different types of speculative coins that have become popular out there. And now that, you know, risk appetite shift, is now hitting the crypto market. And I think it's especially interesting today as we're talking because the Fed minutes were released today, and you know, the Fed was talking about the potential problems that could result from a broader shift in risk appetite, that valuations are extremely high, and you pair that with a high degree of leverage in the financial markets, not just in, you know, equity markets, but in crypto, probably has even much higher leverage than we see in the equity markets today, which is already off the charts. And so, you know, this shifting of risk appetite is a really big deal, especially when you consider the leverage behind it, because it could spiral into something, you know, bigger pretty quickly.
Now, if that happens, if we do see this, I guess, issue broadly for the market spiral into something bigger, does it take everything down with it, Jesse? Are we talking a recession, a longer recession than just the little blip that we saw in the markets last year?
Well, I think it's interesting to see, you know, that commodities have rolled over this week, too. You know, I use DeMarc indicators, you know, as a sign of trend exhaustion. And recently we had a weekly sell signal on, you know, the commodities index, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and we've seen lumber prices come back, you know, dramatically. And that was really the one I think everybody was paying attention to. And so, yeah, I mean, we're seeing basically everything. Now, I don't think this necessarily points to recession, but, you know, I think it was really interesting. I know you want to get to this in a little bit, but to see that the jobs report last month was really disappointing and the, you know, surprised to the downside dramatically. And at the same time, the inflation report surprised to the upside even more than we've ever seen before in the history of CPI, you know, and versus expectations. And so that to me just kind of points to potential for instead of, to me, the consensus right now points would be, you know, surging growth and inflation, right? The inflation narrative is really taking hold with consumers and investors alike. But that goes, you know, people also believe that goes hand in hand with growth. And if it turns out that that growth narrative is going to also change, that, you know, the economic numbers are going to point to maybe disappointing growth after the next quarter or two, you know, we could be looking at a more of a stagflationary type of episode, which would be absolute worst case for financial assets like stocks and bonds.
So what about that inflation data? And I guess we can loop in the jobs data. One of the arguments for the jobs data maybe being that people are still sitting at home and still getting some government support, so they're not as motivated to get into the job force. That could be holding back some of those numbers. But the inflation data, that really had to hit home for a lot of people. However, the argument still being that this inflation could be transitory, only time will tell. Where's the balance between these two data points that are significant?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the Fed hopes that it's transitory, and they're really trying to, you know, Danny Kahneman is you know, fabulous behavioral psychologist has written about this, that, and I think the Fed may be the best example that, you know, people in positions of power, marketing companies understand the more you repeat something and absolute untruth, the more people will start to believe it. And I think that's what the Fed is really trying to do, is regardless of whether inflation proves transitory or not, they're trying to manage inflation expectations, because that's really the most important thing right here. It doesn't matter if the Fed believes inflation is transitory. It really matters if consumers believe it, because if they believe it, that inflation is transitory, inflation comes, you know, that it doesn't change their behaviors. But if people believe inflation is not transitory, it changes their behaviors. And we saw a good example of this with the gas shortage on the East Coast, where, you know, people believed that it was, you know, they needed, that it wasn't going to be resolved anytime soon. And so we saw people filling up not just their cars when they didn't necessarily need to, but gas cans and plastic bags. I mean, it was craziness. And, you know, when that type of a mindset, I mean, just imagine if that were to hit other types of goods and services in the economy. People say, you know what, I not only need to buy things today, I need to start stockpiling. That creates an inflationary vicious cycle, or, you know, feedback loop, positive feedback loop, where prices then go up, which creates more of an inflationary mindset, which makes people want to stockpile more. And we're seeing tons of companies already adopt this mindset where they're saying, okay, we have record low inventories and a variety of things. We need to start stockpiling in order to protect us and to be able to keep our, you know, product lines, you know, keep inventories from going to zero. We saw the lowest inventories among retailers, I think, inventory to sales ratios, I think we've ever seen. So, you know, I do think there are signs that, to me, that structurally point to these trends, not just the jobs trend or the inflation trend, but also the jobs trend being more structural and less transitory.
Yeah, well, time will tell whether this is transitory or structural, right? But very interesting comments as always, Jesse. I am having you back on next segment. We need to take a quick break for the radio stations, but everybody stick around. Jesse Felder and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Jesse, we wrapped up last segment with your comments on inflation and whether it will be transitory or, as you made the argument for, actually structural. That then carries over to the Fed. Is the Fed going to change policy? Is this data enough to make the Fed change policy. There were some pretty wishy-washy comments in that, in those Fed minutes. But overall, do you see the potential here of the Fed altering policy sometime this year?
Yeah, actually, I think what they said was they are going to potentially start talking about, or actually right now they're talking about, talking about potentially, you know, when they need to adjust current policy. So they're not even, you know, talking about adjusting policy. They're talking about whether they need, when they need to start talking about it. And so,
but isn't that the start, though? Isn't that what we're all expecting? They do need to start talking about it before they do anything.
So I think today we saw in the Fed moves essentially a trial balloon. It's the Fed saying, okay, we're going to put this out there that we're talking about, you know, making changes to policy, and well, let's see how the markets react. And so I think, you know, the Fed, I think what's more likely than a massive change in Fed policy, because the Fed has basically said we're not going to raise interest rates or do anything until 2023. So any surprise, you know, that would go against that, because they've spent so much time and energy kind of setting the expectations of the markets that, you know, 2023, you know, we're not going to do anything before then. That anything that goes against that, you know, could damage their credibility and potentially hurt the markets, et cetera. So I think, you know, what is more likely is, and what, you know, a lot of these, you know, economists and things that I think the consensus is that inflation probably needs to be addressed by fiscal policy, you know, rather than, you know, through taxes and et cetera, rather than, and industrial policy, rather than through monetary policy. And to me, that they're trying to also change expectations among investors and consumers in that respect, too, that the Fed might not be able to raise interest rates because the debt is too big. And so we might have to, through industrial policy, essentially saying we're going to use government funds to loosen up some of these supply chains, supply chain constraints and things. We're going to potentially raise taxes in order to rein in inflation if need be. That might be the avenue for, to address inflation, because I think the Fed is just, reluctant and potentially unable to, really, raise rates to the degree they might need to. I think it was, former and New York Fed chief said, you know, if inflation's, you know, 3%, the Fed has to raise rates to 4.5% to essentially be hawkish and try and bring it under control. Now, the CPI number came out of 4%. So does that mean Fed funds needs to be 5.5% in order to raise inflation? No way in hell they're going to raise rates to 5.5%. So in that case, we have to find other ways to fight inflation, just because it's just not going to be possible through monetary policy. And all of this, the inflation numbers, you know, last month, and these potentially, you know, this paradigm shift in fiscal and monetary policy, all of this is extremely bullish for the gold price.
Okay, let's talk about gold, because at the start of the week, important or potentially important breakout above that 1850 level. Now, we don't know how gold's going to close, but even on Wednesday, it was getting a little bit of a bounce there. However, again, kind of selling off on the back of those Fed minutes. What do you think about that break above 1850? Where does gold go from here? And really, have we seen a significant shift in momentum and direction after that 8-month correction?
Absolutely. You know, as you and I have been talking over the past couple of months, you know, the thing that I've been pointing to is that the reason for gold's correction over the past 8 months or so is that nominal interest rates had been rising faster than the rate of inflation. We actually saw core CPI come down to, you know, 1.5% or something like that in February and March, really unsustainably low levels, while the 10-year yield, 30-year yield really jumped up from, you know, 50 basis points to 160, 170 basis points on the 10-year, and, you know, 2.5 on almost on the 30-year. So that dynamic of rising real yields really was what, you know, has been a headwind for the gold price over the last eight months or so. That now shifted. Right. So we have 30-year yield at 2.3%, something like that. And now core inflation at 3%. So all of a sudden, real rates went from about, you know, from rising you know, significantly, to now they're the most negative they've been in years. And to, this is the actual turning point I've been talking about for a couple of months that changes this headwind to gold prices to a super strong tailwind. You know, the gold price should be running, you know, based on this correlation, could be running, you know, 20% price appreciation year over year. And it's right now, I mean, it's essentially pretty close to flat year over year, or, was until this recent rally. So you have this fundamental change, which is really bullish. You pair that with the technical turnaround in the gold price, and on all, you know, technical measures I follow, momentum looks really, really good for gold prices, and is probably going to continue higher. You pair the strong technicals, strong fundamentals, put those things together, and also, you know, fact that investors still haven't really put on exposure to go look at gold ETF assets. There really hasn't been any exposure put back on yet. So to me, all of that points to that this rally is for real, and it's probably just the beginning.
Now, what about the majors too? Because the majors actually started bouncing back before gold did, and the larger gold stocks especially have actually led this move higher in gold. How do you view the health of the majors? Where are you focusing some of your gold investments?
Yeah, I think I've probably mentioned, you know, Barrick has been the one, my primary focus during this phase. There was some real good insider buying there. That's one of the things I monitor most closely. It still looks undervalued. I think, like I said last time we spoke, investors have been pricing the miners as if they're traditional cyclical businesses, where you should only be willing to pay a very low multiple when their cash flow is good, and the multiple, you know, you could be willing to pay a high multiple when their cash flow is bad, because it's gonna, you know, it's cyclical. Cash flow is gonna improve. So investors have been only willing to pay a small multiple of cash flow for a lot of these companies because they believed we're near probably the top of the cycle. Now, that mindset's just now in the process of changing, where people are realizing, wait, if these aren't like cyclicals, then their cash flow is going to actually keep going up, then we can pay a much higher multiple. And I think we're in the middle or early innings of that process, where investors are going to have to start repricing these stocks, and they're going to, you know, definitely going to outperform to the upside.
Okay, Jesse, it's always great having you on the show, buddy. We'll wrap it up here. A lot to take in, and very interesting shift away from these growth stocks and really away from risk. Jesse, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Had a great time, Corey, as usual. Thanks.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
America reporting fewer COVID cases, but some are still reluctant to take off their masks. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky saying yesterday, returning to normal won't be easy for everyone.
For 16 months, we've been saying that it's important to wear these masks to protect yourselves. And now what we're saying is it's going to be hard to get back to life as we knew it without these masks. And we're going to do so dipping our toe in the water and having everybody move at their own pace.
The seven-day average of daily new cases down Friday to under 30,000. That's the lowest in almost a year. Closer, but not close enough, apparently. President Biden lowering his infrastructure plan Friday to less than $2 trillion, but it's still about $1 trillion higher than the Republican plan. The two sides also disagree on funding sources. Biden wants to tax those making over $400,000. The GOP wants to hike the gas tax. This is USA Radio News. Anti-Israel protests planned across the U.S. today. Cities big and small, from Alaska to Hawaii, Boston, Chicago, New York, L.A., and even Bar Harbor, Maine. Meanwhile, Israel and Hamas in the midst of a ceasefire after weeks of violence, killing over 200 people, mostly in Gaza. President Biden saying Friday peace in the Middle East depends mainly on one thing.
Until the region says unequivocally they acknowledge the right of Israel to exist as an independent Jewish state, there will be no peace.
More violence reported Friday between Israeli security forces and Palestinian protesters accused of throwing rocks at them at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. No deaths reported. President Biden apparently planning to meet with members of George Floyd's family next week. The Hill reporting the meeting Tuesday will mark 1 year since Floyd's death in Minneapolis. The White House not confirming the report. Meanwhile, the White House hoping to push through a police reform bill named for Floyd that passed the House but has yet to pass the Senate. Alabama lifts a ban on yoga. The governor this week signing a bill allowing yoga to be taught in public schools for the first time since 1993. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. I am now chatting with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian and I are going to focus more exclusively on the commodities sector and really divide it into two different broad sectors here. Let's start off with precious metals, especially gold. One thing we've noticed throughout this week, especially here, Adrian, is just a broad recovery in now the smaller stocks, gold juniors. We saw the gold majors and the royalty companies really leading the turnaround in gold about 2 months ago. And some of the select juniors were doing well, but just in this week, especially at the beginning of the week, one thing I noticed was a lot of upward movement in juniors across the board in the gold sector. What do you think's driving this? Why all of a sudden are the juniors starting to broadly move higher?
Well, hello, Corey, and thank you for having me again. I was going to say you must have a different list of stocks on your portfolio list than I do, because a lot of the juniors, I mean, certainly more of the juniors are moving, but I still think it's a long way from a broad-based recovery. There's still a lot of them that really haven't picked up at all. But certainly in broad terms, we can say that the big royalties, the major miners, they bottomed at the end of February, retested some of them at the end of March, but they've been moving up now, as you said, for the last few months. And And selectively, the juniors and explorations were moving. And it's just been a gradual process, I think, to some extent. You know, each week, each month, you know, more of the juniors will pop or will move until, you know, as you said, in the last month, it's been much broader, although by no means universal. I think that's important to mention. I mean, I could name, you know, a whole list of good quality exploration companies that are at the same or even lower prices than they were a month ago. But I think that's when you ask what's happening, I think it's just really more of the same general pattern. Two things. First of all, the seniors always move first. We know that. Let's say 9 times out of 10, they move first, and then the second tiers, and then it slowly moves down to the juniors and exploration companies. So that's just part of a general pattern. And I think you normally get more of the juniors and exploration companies moving, other than on specific events. You get those moving when the gold market appears to have confirmed its move. You know, you don't get that on the initial move, but you get it when they've confirmed the move. And I think the way gold has acted in the last couple of months, you know, moving up and with very little in the way of pullback, and now, you know, well, not only well above 1800, but now, you know, approaching 1900, then I think, you know, that starts people wanting to buy. So I think it's just a matter that gold has confirmed its move, and people are now willing to move down to the juniors.
Now, Adrian, can you pinpoint any maybe certain news event or data point that you think really signified the turn? Or was it simply that gold finally had the correction that it needed? It lasted a little bit longer than some people thought, and it was due for a bounce, and now we're in the early stages of that bounce.
I think it's primarily the latter, to be honest. And we talked about this last time, how after the big run-up, at the beginning of last year, ending at the beginning of August, you know, from end of March to the beginning of August, gold moved up over 40% in US dollar terms. Huge move for an asset like gold. So you had a correction that frankly just lasted a long time. When you think about it, it really wasn't such a deep correction. It was just that it dragged on for so long, which ironically was a sign of strength, meaning there were always people standing there ready to buy. But I think it was just a matter of seller exhaustion, frankly. And that's what often happens with markets. People are always looking. I mean, if you looked on, you know, what was it, March the 1st or whatever it was, the gold, March the 8th, the gold bottomed. I don't think there was any particular development that day. I think you just get a matter of seller exhaustion, and that's often what happens in markets. But of course, and you get the opposite, which is buyer exhaustion. You run out of buyers on the upside. And a stock or market just has to roll over because there's no more people willing to pay the price. But those events always happen against a background of either strong fundamentals or improving fundamentals. And that's what we saw with gold. I mean, the excess money printing that the Fed's doing was really, which they've been doing for the last year now, but they've actually increased what we'll call money printing. The money supply's picked up in the last 3 months. Fed credit, the rate of growth in Fed credit has increased in the last 3 months, whereas one would have thought, and the Fed expected, and analysts expected, but after that initial run last year, you would get you'd get a plateauing and perhaps a slow retracement as the economy starts to improve. On the contrary. And the huge spending measures that the current administration has either passed or is in Congress or is planning, has only, so $10 to $12 trillion of new spending in the last 2 months has been, you know, proposed. And the Fed has indicated a willingness to accommodate that. That only reinforces, you know, the fundamental positive for gold, which is that the Fed is creating excess credit. And when you hear these news reports about, oh, Fed mentions tapering, let's not forget that it was just a handful of the Fed board members. It was not a board unanimous decision. It was a handful that brought it up. And the Fed agreed to lay out a timeline when they would start to begin to discuss tapering. We're a long way from tapering, and they're not even talking about tapering, but they're laying out a groundwork for when they might begin to talk about it. My gosh, they're really reluctant. They are going to be the most reluctant Federal Reserve ever to tighten money. So those things are very positive. And of course, then we had the inflation numbers. We can talk about that if you want.
One quick comment on that Fed minutes, right? It was a pretty funny comment from them because it said, a number of participants suggested that if the economy continued to make rapid progress towards the committee's goals, it might be appropriate at some time in upcoming meetings to begin discussing a plan for adjusting these asset purchases. So you're right, Adrian. It's a crazy kind of waffly comment.
You said it better than I did. But yeah, they couldn't have thrown in any more words to downplay it more.
Yeah, just a really crazy comment, isn't it, Adrian? Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but you know what? There's a lot more for us to discuss here, so we're going to keep on chatting, and I'll post the full interview then on our website, kereport.com, in the weekend show posting. That's where you can hear the full interview with Adrian Day, as we are going to just keep on discussing resources and where Adrian sees the market set up. So again, please just visit our website or podcast to hear that full interview, and stick around because I'm going to be right back to wrap up the weekend show with a bit more of a focus on the precious metals, as I am chatting with Dave Erfley. So everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to continue our focus in the precious metal space as I am chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, this last week was pretty important, I think, for precious metals, especially gold, as gold at the very beginning of the week broke above that 1850 level, which coincided with, depending on how you draw it, the downtrend channel, top end of that downtrend channel that's been in place for 8+ months, and that 200-day moving average. And the important thing about that break is that it actually held throughout the week. I know, including myself, a few people were expecting the price to drop back below because that has been what we saw in precious metals, an early week breakout with a fade to the end of the week. But it was encouraging to see gold hold those gains and close the week above 1850. Dave, what's your take on that breakout this week in, let's start with just the gold price?
Yeah, Corey, you know, it's been a very good week for the gold bulls finally. But yeah, you know, I've been discussing this for the past 2 or 3 weeks in my column that, this was setting up to happen. The day that it happened, it started to happen on Monday, but, the day that the sector really got interesting was Wednesday when everything was tanking because of what was going on with China, the sudden announcement of cryptocurrency bans. So that is the reason why everything was tanking on Friday, but gold. So we saw gold act as a safe haven for the first time in a while here. And, while that was happening, the cryptocurrencies were really getting hit pretty hard. Happened before the Fed minutes come out. So the gold price was firmly above 1850, screaming higher. And then the Fed minutes come out and they were somewhat hawkish. Talking about pulling back on their bond buying program. So the gold price immediately came back down to retest the 200-day moving average, but it was intraday retest. It went right back up again. So that was the most interesting thing about Wednesday was gold was the island of safety while everything else was being hit. So that's very encouraging. And then on Friday, We had a weekly close above that 1850 level, which is what I've been harping on also, because like you said, that's the top of that downtrend line, which also coincides with that 200-day moving average. And what is also interesting is ever since the gold price got back above 1850, the GDXJ has been outperforming the GDX, which is also something I've been talking about starting to take place once 1850 gets cleared. So that 1850 number is very important. And now we're seeing the actual gold price is really overbought here on a daily basis. It was rising above that 75 RSI on Friday morning, and what's happening now is it's creating a daily flag here above 1850 as well as the GDX. So if the flagging continues here, then I wouldn't be surprised to see the gold price get over 1900 next week.
So, Dave, also looking at a slightly longer chart than just the last week, too, gold has been really stair-stepping higher over the last almost 2 months now. So this is a real change in direction that I think needs to be very encouraging for precious metals investors. And initially, that change in direction was led by the bigger miners. But now, as you said, the juniors, and something I noticed this week, is that we were seeing juniors broadly move higher. And I was also seeing some of the lower quality juniors move higher. So that's very encouraging, but sometimes that can also mean a bit of a pause is due because all that money is trickling lower. So is that what you're seeing by saying that at least on the daily chart, gold and some of the gold stocks are even a little overbought?
Yes. We could see some backing and filling, which would actually be healthy. But going back to your going back and looking a longer term, if you pull back even farther and you go back to May of 2019, the gold market has formed a huge pennant that it's breaking out of right now. And now that it's closed above that 1850 on a weekly basis, that's a technical breakout. I mean, previously during this long nearly 10 month correction in the gold price, we've seen the gold price run up to that downtrend line and then come right back down quickly. As a matter of fact, it created two separate island reversals once it got to that downtrend line. And the last one was right at the beginning of the year, which was very disheartening for the gold bulls. I mean, the gold price was running up into 2021. Tax loss season was over. They placed their bets in their favorite juniors. And all of a sudden, the gold price did that. The miners did that island reversal and dashed their hopes once again. And we had another 3 months of correction into the end of March.
Dave, what about silver? Because gold definitely is outperforming silver right now. Silver's been a bit more choppy, but you know what? Silver was doing much better during that 8 month correction that gold was in. How are you viewing silver in the broad context of precious metals here?
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the silver chart, the long-term silver chart, it's consolidating higher. You know, it's basically been a lot stronger than the gold price. It's remained above its 200-day moving average. I mean, it came down and traded below it just for a few days, and its 50-day moving average never crossed below its 200-day moving average. So it's still consolidating below that $30 level. And I think if we see a monthly close above that 28, 28.50 area, I think that the silver price can break out above 30. And once it breaks out above 30, then there's not much resistance until 35. So it looks like it's just a coiled spring here ready to break out.
Yeah, and we have just over a week before we get that monthly close. But again, it's looking much better for the precious metals. Dave, how aggressive have you been in your portfolio here, managing some of your positions and also balancing out that we are seeing these juniors run some on significantly higher volume?
Well, I've been walking my talk, Corey. You know, I pretty much put to work the rest of my cash this week. And for the past few weeks, I've been busy putting to work the rest of my cash in my portfolio. So I don't have very much cash left in my portfolio because I think this breakout is going to hold. And I think that the risk now is firmly to the upside in the junior sector. I'm sure you're going to see some more backing and filling like we talked about earlier in the discussion here, that it's a bit short-term overbought. But you're going to start to see these juniors take off one by one, the quality juniors. And you've already started to see it in a few of them. So you might even have a down day in the gold price, yet a junior one of these juniors takes off. So I think you're going to start to see that, as I expect the weakness to continue to be bought here.
Yeah, look, I've noticed a few juniors already starting to take off. And one thing I've noticed is that it's these juniors that have either just started up drill programs or are about to commence drill programs. Those are really starting to get bought. Dave, what's your strategy, though, when you see juniors or a general area play get bought so aggressively before drill results are coming out?
Yeah, I know what you're referring to. You're referring to that Newfoundland area that we talked about last week. I think it was last week. It might have been the week before. But, yeah, I mean, some of them have gone up without even drill results being reported yet, and they're not expected to come out for a month or two yet in this area in Newfoundland. That's really gotten hot because of what Newfound Gold is doing there. We talked about Labrador Gold, and since that discussion, they came out and their finance with Newfound Gold and Sprott was upsized another $5 million, and that popped the stock. They've yet to release any more drill results, and my position is getting up there. So I might have to take some off the table before the next results come out, because it's the stock is continuing to climb. But yeah, I mean, you really got to be careful with these things. You know, when they go up so much, you don't want to lose all your gains. Per se, if the drill results turn out to be a big dud, but then again, you don't want to sell too much in case they're not. That's why you don't want to put too much of your investment capital into one of these things. Just put a small amount, and then once they get a little over, once they get ahead of themselves, then you take a little bit off the table and you feel a lot more comfortable holding them.
All right. Dave, interesting chatting with you as always, buddy. And again, a very good week for precious metals. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. And thank you for all the comments and emails that I've received throughout this week, and especially on the companies that I've been featuring on the show. Please keep all the emails coming. Fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you. And I'm going to be back maybe with a couple daily editorials on Monday, but definitely on Tuesday. It's another very busy week. And one other final note, please check out that webinar that I am hosting focused on silver with the CPM Group and the Happy Hawaiian. Send me all your questions, fleck@kereport.com. Dave, really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The Arise USA Tour is free, with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack, the Patriot Street Fighter Scott McKay, human rights attorney Lee Dundas, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.